Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Good evening. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. On this show, we explore the mindsets of many gifted, accomplished spiritual mediums on many different topics related to consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka. We are going with video today. I don't know why, but we've decided just to do it so we could see... We could see our guests. You could see kind of who I am, and I'm the world's most okayest guitarist, as you can see. Anyhow, our guest today is a great guy, Dustin Livers. He's a professional psychic medium, energy worker, certified by the Forever Family Foundation. He studied at the Arthur Findlay College. That's in England, I believe. Psychic science, mediumship. He's a PhD student in counselor education and supervision. He's also a nationally certified counselor, a limited licensed professional counselor, and a Reiki master. Wow.
So he's got like the whole thing. I don't know who said that to you.
it was, I'm sorry, what?
I was like, who sent you that long bio?
That was, that's the shortened version, believe it or not. Anyhow, it's a great show. It's for research informational purposes. Your questions are always welcome. Dustin's not, he's not performing any readings tonight, okay? But if you want to pick his brains about what makes him tick and all that kind of stuff, or, you know, what makes the science of mediumship or anything related to, you know, the topics that we normally discuss here, feel free to call. The number is 1-888-627-6008. So 888-627-6008. So welcome.
Thanks, Rowan.
We spoke was June of last summer, man. Have you been?
I've been pretty good. Been busy, as you've read through that entire list.
Oh my God, yeah, it's a lot.
I've been doing a lot. So right this past year, I've been doing a lot with the writing. So I'm in my dissertation. And that's been taking up a whole lot of my time. So I've been having to move sometimes clients around. I haven't been able to do as many readings as usual. I haven't been able to do as many events. You know, I've had to say no to people, which is new for me. Usually I'm a yes man. You know, I say yes to everything.
What is, and I'm asking because I'm a tech guy. What is that fancy thing behind you?
Which one? Like this? This?
Yeah, that white and black and white.
Oh, that's my computer. Yeah. It's a gaming computer. I'm a gamer.
It's like it came out of Wall-E or something, you know? One of those super movies. So you're a gamer. Good for you.
I am, yeah. I actually stream on Twitch sometime for my own self-care and my unwinding time. So I stream games. And I play games with my dad and my family every Sunday. We play online together. That's really nice to have that with family.
Fantastic, fantastic. And how far are you away from us calling you doctor?
Well, actually, knock on wood, I don't know if I have wood anywhere. It's probably going to be, I wanted to shoot for December, but now it looks like it's probably going to be February, March, so not too far away.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Fantastic. More power to you. So, you know, we're going to get a bunch of, we can get calls in on the number who... and the number that I gave, 888-627-0008. But in the meantime, we could definitely ask you some really difficult questions here. So one of the questions that we got was, does the manner in which somebody dies affect their ability to make contact with you, like accident, illness, whatever, you know? What do you think?
It's more of a roundabout kind of way. You know, it's not like spirit isn't able to communicate fully. It's more, is the sitter ready, right? You know, the manner of which they die can certainly impact the emotions, you know, the psychological well-being for the sitter. And that's going to impact the ability, you know, the connection, because it's a three-way, right? It's, you know, me, them, and the spirit. You know, they may not be.
It is a three-way for sure.
They may not be ready, right? If they had a very traumatic loss, you know, the spirit's going to honor that, and they're not going to come through, you know, if they're not ready for that.
Like, if, is it, I'm sorry, is it based on the readiness of the sitter or of the spirit?
Well, it could be either one, but in my experience, most of the time it's the sitter. You know, if they've had a very traumatic loss, mm-hmm. you know, the spirit died, you know, especially by suicide, you know, they're probably not going to come through like tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Of course not. Of course not. It's gonna take some healing. I heard suicide, it takes a lot of healing for them to be able to function again, I guess, on the other side.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to touch that with a 9-foot pole. You know, if somebody had a loss like that and they contacted me like a week later, I would not, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I knew or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So do you incorporate your mediumship skills into the other things you do in your life? Like the counseling and all of that kind of stuff.
So that's actually, I'm so glad you asked that. So people ask me that a lot. And mm-hmm. so it's a tricky balance, right? Because liability wise, legally, right? You cannot, you know, do mediumship in a counseling session, right? The insurance not going to pay for that. You know, it's not evidence based like they want.
It's not physical evidence based. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, science, what they consider science. And so, you know, you could be very liable, right? But you can use your skills, right? So, you know, you can use it in more kind of roundabout ways, right? You can kind of get a hunch for where to go. Sometimes spirit will actually kind of tell me there's something about this topic, you know, get into it. And then conversely, with the mediumship intuitive, a lot of clients are in deep grief, right? So the counseling skills, I'm not counseling, but I'm using counseling skills, right? So there's a difference between those two things. And so, you know, especially now with the grief work that's being introduced in a lot of mediumship, a lot of them are, you know, being trained a little bit, you know, and how to work with that. And, you know, and so, yeah, I have a lot with that. And I kind of know what to do with the big emotion and with the big feeling. And, you know, when someone just needs a break and, you know, you don't want to push, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I hear you. Absolutely. We're kind of on the topic, and just, you know, just by coincidence, we have a caller. We have Lisa from Michigan on line 2.
Hi, Lisa.
She wants to know something about suicides. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you, Dustin. My question is kind of twofold. Do you believe it is different for a person to cross when they have committed suicide? I've been reading, not all things, but some things are suggesting that troubled spirit may have more trouble crossing. And my second question that ties with it is it different when you try to channel the spirits of someone who has died of suicide?
The first question, and I'll just kind of throw this tidbit in there. I don't like to use the word committed suicide, because that makes it sound like it's, you know, it's just, in counseling world, we say completed, you know, because it is a choice, you know, it's somebody's choice to make that decision. And when the first part of that question, that's more of a, you know, philosophical, kind of a spiritual belief system. From my personal experience, I would say most of the time the spirits It is a little more adjusting, because of the complexity, right? All of the feelings, the psychological, the well-being, it's a lot, right? When that kind of thing happens. But for the second part of the question, most of the time when I have a spirit that's coming through who has completed suicide, they don't always come through first. And usually another spirit brings them in because they're a little hesitant to come forward. So, usually there's a lot of feelings around it. I'll kind of know. So I'll use a lot of kind of padding around the delivery, when I'm speaking to the sitter or when I'm going to bring them through, because I can feel the intensity and the almost the apprehensiveness of them coming forward, because we don't know what's going to happen, right? Because it's such a touchy, touchy subject. But you can feel that,
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah,
Thank you
I don't
very
like to step on other mediums' toes, I
much.
because we all believe different things with the first part of that question, so with what she's asking Lisa, and so I don't like to be like, oh, I know exactly. what I mean? Because like a lot of mediums believe different things. We all have different belief systems too.
Thank you
Right.
very much,
And
Lisa.
Dustin, thank you.
Okay. Well, yeah, that is that's really interesting. And what is kind of coincidence that, I mean, we were kind of talking about that, right? When she called. Coincidence? I don't know.
I feel like I'm a good medium to ask, right? Because with the therapeutic background and everything, especially with suicide, it's such a touchy one. That's such a touchy subject, it
Now,
really
what
is.
is your take on spirit guides? Do you have spirit guides?
Personally, I believe everybody has, at least one. My how I communicate with mine is I have different guides for different things. So I'll have one guide who steps in when I'm doing more of like a school kind of role and I'm teaching and writing, and then I have a different guide that works with me when I do my spiritual work, so when I'm doing my readings or my energy work and that kind of thing, I have different guides for different things. They kind of guide in different ways.
Now, is it how do you communicate with your guides? Is it through like a clairaudience kind of thing, voice in your head, or do you see them in the room with you?
For me, it's very extraordinarily clairsentient. I can feel like it's nobody's business. If I'm open, I will be overwhelmed. I am so sensitive. I can't go into a crystal shop without shaking or hold a crystal in my hand without wobbling. I have to turn it off, just to function in the world.
Is that something that you can do voluntarily? Like turn it off, like all of this
Yes. Takes a
energy?
lot of practice, a lot of self-discipline, a lot of work with your spirit people. Yes. And I had a good mentors. My mentor John was a medium and I lived with him for many years, and we worked privately together. I lived with him. And so he really drilled it into me. He's like, "Sweetheart, you're so sensitive. We got to work with this." So for me, it's the clairsentience. I can feel the different guys. I hear them too, and I can see if I open up deeply. But it's the feeling is so strong. I get strong feeling.
So can we ask, like, can you ask your spirit guides to look out for others as well? Or do they look out for others as well, the spirit guides? Or is it more like a one-to-one relationship?
I don't think I've ever asked my spirit people to
That's
look
not
after.
a
I don't think I've ever asked
bad
my guides. I ask for clarity, like on my relationships. I'll be like, what's going on with this? Or, what's going on with mom or dad? Or, and of course, I'm a person of faith. I pray, but I don't think I've ever asked my spirit guides specifically them. To intervene in other people's lives. I've never asked that, so I don't know. I can try. I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Have them send the winning lottery tickets my way.
Go help Roman.
We'll see if it works. Okay?
He
experiment.
Needs
let's call it an experiment.
That's a great question. I have never ever considered that before.
Well, that's why I still have a job here. I ask great questions.
You like send them on errands, like oh go
and because I do it for free too. That kind of helps too. So, let's get to another question. If a person has Alzheimer or severe dementia, okay, are they here? Have they crossed over? What's going on? Are they?
Oh, that's so interesting that button? You asked that question. So the last time, actually, I was in contact with Bob, and I won't go into a lot of detail on this.
Bob
so
Ginsburg?
Yes. Yeah, we had a bit of a situation with a person who had seen me for a reading who didn't quite understand that, and so I tried to help her understand, and so, you know, there was a whole thing, and so I had to consult Bob, and Bob was in there, so I'm glad you asked this question. So it's a bit of an ebb and a flow. You know, so when somebody is experiencing, you know, Alzheimer's dementia, you know, what we're in the psychology world, that's brain death. That's mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's brain death. So I hate to be so blunt and so matter of fact, but mm-hmm. it is. So, you know, this person is in the act of crossing over, right? I mean, they are experiencing death, not bodily, but they are, right? Their soul is already in transition. So the soul actually will kind of ebb and flow. So people will say, you know, they have good days, you know, the soul probably has come back a bit, right? They're kind of coming in a little more, they have more awareness, more clarity, you know, they're responding a little more. But then when they go back to the regular way of transitioning, right, the soul is already starting to go. So a lot of times in a mediumship reading, I will get people who their body is still alive, but their soul has already transitioned.
You know, because some of the Alzheimer's patients, I mean, they're not coming back. They're just
they're gone.
Their brain is like neural cortex activities cease to work, I guess. So those are the people whose bodies are alive for whatever reason. To get family together, or maybe they're going to be organ donors or whatever. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So their spirits.
That's a big one. That's a big one. And I really wish people knew this, because people question mediums, like the lady I was talking about. Oh, I don't think I even said their gender, but it was a woman. I don't want to give identifying information. I want to save.
Okay, well, you just narrowed it down by 50%.
No one's gonna know who this is,
but that's a big chunk of information.
But you know, because it puts the medium in a difficult position, right? Because we'll be describing how someone passes, but we won't always know for sure that it's, you know, exactly Alzheimer's dementia or that their body is still alive. And so the sitter will be like, "I have no idea who that is." You know what I mean? And it's like, well, if people knew this. Right, that it also includes people with bodies who are still alive, but their brains have, you know, and their soul has already trained. Then, you know, the sitter would be like, "Oh yeah, right." I feel like we need to do a better job of raising awareness around this, you know, because people just don't know. You know, they just don't know about this. You know,
I hear you. Wow, that's no. I mean that makes complete sense. And it would probably. I guess if a medium was clairvoyant, for example, and the person hasn't transitioned across, only their soul, would that prevent the medium that's clairvoyant from seeing what that person looked like?
I mean, it depends.
Yeah, I know.
Right? I mean, you know, just because they're clairvoyant doesn't mean they're going to they're going to see everything. Or, you know, I mean, it depends on their clairvoyance ability, you know.
I guess no, it's an interesting, you know, there's many recorded cases also of like what's called terminal lucidity, where at the end, somebody can be like really down the path of Alzheimer's, and right before they cross over, they gain consciousness and say bye to their loved ones and that kind of thing. There's,
Yeah,
I mean,
that's gotta be a spiritual intervention, in my
oh
mind.
yeah.
They're coming back for one last goodbye.
Yeah. And people that are just, crossing, like right when they cross that last minute, that transition of, and that look of wonder in their eyes when they transition, because the timing is not exactly perfect. They can maybe manifest where they're still here and they see it, and they're like, wow, So I'm
Yeah,
kind of
this
looking forward
subject's
to it.
very dear to me. My grandfather died of Lewy body dementia, and that one is very rare. People don't know about Lewy body. It's extraordinarily aggressive, and it happened in 1 year. He
Wow.
was perfectly cognizant, everything, and then bam, he and then on my other side, we have Alzheimer's dementia. So I really wish people, kind of knew,
Yeah. Well, the most of your clientele that comes in to see you, are they like new clientele, or do you see have a lot of repeat business? What is it typically for you? Bit of both.
I feel like it's a mix. Yes. I would actually say it's probably about half and half.
Really, huh? Wow.
Yeah. And I've been working for, good Lord, I can't believe it's been so long, but I think it's been 11 or 12 years. So, after a decade of, people kind of coming and I had people show up I hadn't seen in like 5 or 6 years, like a couple of them that saw me
Do
years
you
ago.
remember them?
No. Is that a repeat? I don't know, because I've been in the business so long. Is it a new quote unquote, or is, because I don't always know if they're repeat or not.
Do they
It's been
tell you
so
they're
long.
repeat?
Some of them, yeah. I'll be like, and then some of them expect me to remember. I'm like,
Yeah. But the thing is that, okay, think of it this way. If you give them a reading 5 years down the road, that is completely different than the one you gave them 5 years previously. What does that tell you? Or tell
There might be
them?
a lot of change in their life, They're like,
Well, yes. That's what, taxes, death, change, or what, those are the three constants in life, I guess.
yeah, there are, yeah.
Something like that. So tell us a bit, let's just dive into your history. Like,
Okay.
how did you start getting your mediumistic abilities? And part two to that question is, do you think it is a like a something that you're born with, or is it something that can be learned?
People ask that all the time. Like,
No.
this is old stuff. That's like an old question that was
Oh, okay,
answered.
you know what? You're right. You're
That
That's
question was answered so long ago, but but
but
my history, I'll tell you a little bit about it. So
okay.
I started, so when I was a kid, I sensed spirit at a very young age. And so I remember watching the show Pokemon. I don't know if you know Pikachu and Pokemon. They have a psychic type. And they actually showed in the episode, I was actually rewatching it not that long ago because I really liked that episode. With Sabrina, they're doing psychic exercises. They're like looking at the cards and bending spoons and in the Pokemon episode. And I remember on the bus with this boy, with this kid. We were both on the bus together, and we were talking about what is psychic. This was a long time ago, and we had just heard about the word through Pokemon, And I was like, I think he told me that I was, because he asked me some questions, and I just kind of blurted out the answers. And I remember I went home and I told my dad, and my dad, of course, didn't believe me. He was like, "What number am I thinking of?" And I was like, "It doesn't work that way." I was like telling my dad even when I was young. But when I started to really work on it was when I was 15. And that was when my aunt Candace, her best friend, Susie Holshue, in Elkhart, I can use her name because we're friends, she ran a yoga studio in Elkhart. And I would come over to Susie's yoga studio. It was called the Flower of Life Center. And I would do Reiki. And so I was doing, like, learning the Reiki, the energy work at 15. You know, and I did that for 16, 17. And then when I was 18, I bought my first deck of tarot cards and I started reading for my friends in the dorms, you know, actually in high school first, and then in the dorms, my freshman year in college. And then I learned I was a medium when John entered my life. And if anyone follows me online, they know who John is because I post about him all the time on my e-blast letters, on all my social. He was my main mentor and teacher. And John told me I was a medium when I was 19.
Okay.
And then I started working with John. And that was kind of the next level. You know, he really moved me, you know. And then I started to do professional readings, join the Forever Family Foundation when I was 21. I think I passed a test actually when I was 20, got certified at 21.
Okay.
You had to wait a while for the certificate, you know, and then, yeah, so started doing all of that at 21. It's been quite a journey. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, you probably had to wait because Bob needed to put ink in his printer or something.
No, I'm pretty sure there's a little more involved than just ink.
I would think so. Just a little joke at Bob's expense and so. So, hey, we have another question of it. Have you ever gotten like an irate sitter, and how did you handle them?
Yeah. Oh goodness, yes. Oh yeah, over 10 so years, yes, it's been.
So yeah. What do you do? What happens, and why are they?
Well, it depends how irate they are. You know, I mean, if they're just swearing and cussing and getting all defensive, it's over, right? You just let them go. Just end the session. Yeah. It's over. You know, like, you're not going to call me names. You're not going to, you know, swear. And you know what I mean? That's,
yeah, it's, of course. That's plus, that's probably, you know, not very good for the energy of spirit.
It's not good for the spirit either. No, actually, fun fact, the client's actually the spirit. The spirit's actually the medium's client. The sitter's just, you know, just wanting the connection. But we work for the spirit world.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I get it. So,
yeah. So you're right. You're advocating for spirit. Spirit doesn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear all the crap that's coming out of the city. Yeah.
So when you cross over, like, these spirits, like, do they, what do they say when they cross over? Was there like, does the physical pain like go away immediately? Let's say you're in a car crash at the time of impact. You feel the impact, or are you already out of your body at that point?
Yeah. So I can't speak like I know for 100%, but from what I've experienced from spirit, when I feel how they pass, it's just a few seconds. You know, I feel the feeling and then it kind of, it goes away. You know, so I'll feel the restricting on my throat or my chest, or I'll feel the impact or the hit, you know, wherever I was hit, or sometimes I'll see the scene like a movie strip, you know, how they died. My understanding, though, most of the spirits that come through will tell me to tell them that they were not in pain. And so this leads me to a question. I wonder if the spirit is telling the truth. Are they telling the truth that they really didn't feel the pain? Or are they telling me to say that to the sitter just to ease their pain? Right? Because I don't know. I just listen to spirit. I don't know if they're always telling the truth. I only tell them what I hear.
Well, you know what? Before you alluded to the fact that, you know, you're religious, okay, as am I. And any, like, the church is very quick to say that, okay, you're receiving messages from the other side, but, you know, like, the devil is a very good at, you know, imitating and fooling people and stuff like that. What do you know, like, you know, a lot of religious people say that.
Oh yeah, they do. Yeah. Well, so you're taking me down a rabbit hole Roman.
Am I?
Because, yes, because you may not know this, I have a master's degree in comparative religion. So I could spend many days,
many days
unpacking this question, okay. You know, because there's a lot of layers to this. My first response will be that Christianity, any religion, is not a monolith, right? There's lots of different types of Christians, lots of denominations, lots of, you know, and going to a medium doesn't mean you're not Christian, right? In some Christians' minds, that may be, right? The ones who are very, right, you know, on
Orthodox.
One side and very strict and very, you know, and they believe a lot of other things too that maybe aren't always the best, right? And so, you know, it doesn't mean that you're not a Christian just if you go to a medium.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, like you said, you can strip that into many different layers and go deeper and deeper. So, yeah, I mean, I think they go hand in hand, Christianity or religion and spirituality. I think one enhances the other. And if you look at it,
I do too. Now, the thing that makes mediums unique, and I think Bob and will appreciate this, is the evidence piece, right? Yeah. So, you know your loved ones, right, better than anyone, you know? And so when we deliver evidence, right, that's a little different than faith, right? We're giving evidence.
Mm-hmm.
That's a yes or no. You know your person, you're going to get the yes or the no. It's not going to be this holy text that just kind of one size fits all, or you kind of just put faith in it, right? You have concrete, you know, this is what the medium says. It's either a yes or a no, right? It's
and I went to see a couple of mediums, and some were good, some were excellent, some were horrible. And
sorry about that.
Well, no, I never saw you, and you weren't that horrible. No, I'm just kidding. But what I'm trying to say is that the less information, for me personally, the less information you give to the medium, the less, well, the better the reading is going to be. That's my opinion, because there's no, oh, this person looked me up or whatever. I mean, the best reading that I got, and I've said it a few times on the program, I was working at General Electric in Schenectady at the time, and I called from a conference room, gave a fake name, so they couldn't trace the number, couldn't give my name. I said, I'll come over and see you, and I'll pay you cash. No credit cards, no nothing. He says, bring it on, and she was phenomenal. And I had no what ifs, you know, like none of that, because this person didn't know me from Adam. I gave a fake name, and how did she get so many things right?
Yeah, that's my ideal client. The ideal client for me is someone I don't know much about, right? Or I've only known them in a professional way, right? Not a personal way. I don't know if your family or your mom or your dog or whatever, and like the less identifying, the less communication, the better, one, for the integrity of the process, and two, I'm busy. You've seen all of those certificates and licenses and crap. Mm. I don't have time to be sending emails all day,
Right.
So yeah, it works in two ways for me and for the process, for you.
We have another person on the line. I think it might be the same person. Yep, Lisa. Lisa's back.
Lisa's got unless questions, man. Lisa, come on, Lisa.
But maybe there's more than one Lisa in Michigan. So let's welcome Lisa. Lisa, hi.
Hi, yes, I do not have a twin. It's the same one. So,
hi, Lisa.
Welcome back.
Thank you. The question is, if you're going to have a reading done from a medium, should you have questions prepared before you go into the reading, or do you just go with the idea of just listening to what the medium has to say?
There's a few parts to that. So one, questions are typically good. You know, most of us allow questions at some part of the process. You know, obviously we may not have time for like a whole list of questions, but, and then even for you to ask your loved ones ahead of time before meeting with the medium, right? So, oh, hey, I really want to know about this. I really want to know about that, right? So you can ask the spirit even ahead of time for them to bring up stuff or questions for them. The other part of this is, you know, there's kind of two big styles of mediumship. So one is direct channel and the other is open channel. So direct channel is when you have one person in mind, you give the medium the name, you tell them who they want, and they bring through the one person. That's the direct channel. Typically, a lot of questions are, you know, a lot of people go with that. But I do, and most of the mediums in the FFF do open channel, which is where we just open up. We don't know anything ahead of time, and then we bring through whoever we get the information. When I do mine, I usually leave the last 5 minutes open for questions. So, but I don't like to know any others until the very end. So I kind of tell people, you know, don't tell me questions, wait till the very end. So it's different styles, right? And I don't want to say open channel is superior to direct channel. And I don't want to accuse direct channelers of being frauds. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm just speaking for myself. You know what I mean? And kind of my process, and then to kind of tell you where questions might fit, you know, in the mediumship process. But generally, questions are good, you know, generally.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I feel like that's a lot.
Thank you for your call again.
I feel like I'm Professor Dustin today. I am like giving the talks and the words and the definitions.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I am like in Professor Dustin mode.
So out of all the things that you do, I mean, you counsel, you teach classes, you do therapy sessions, you do Reiki, group readings, spiritual therapy sessions. Like, what is your favorite thing out of it?
I feel like I know you're going to go into this. My dad asks me the same thing. Are you a dad, Roman? Do you have kids?
I'm channeling your dad.
Do you have kids, though? Are you a father?
Of course I have kids. I got a 10-year-old, yeah. A 12-year-old.
That's the thing a dad would ask. It's a dad question.
It's such a bad. I'm such a dad. Look at me. I got the dad bod. And, you know, I'm such
I was
a dad.
Say, you look actually a little bit like my dad. I would show you a picture of my father. I would say my favorite thing, you know, is to get the feedback. I'm like a cat. I like to be told that, you know, I did a good job. I like to be told that I had an impact on someone's life. And so in any role that might be, you know, happening. So, and then there's actually a lot of crossover, like we were talking about earlier, between all of the different roles, you know, in the different professions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, that
yeah.
makes my work very unique. You know, and I kind of dig into things a little more, you know. So I like, for one example, I don't do combination stuff, like combination readings or combination, you know, whatever, because all of my things are going to be very detailed. You know, I get into it, you know.
What do you mean combination? Really... Like more than one reader?
No, like some mediums will do like psychic and mediumship readings or like
energy healing and psychic
readings. Like they'll mix and kind of match and, you know, and even gotcha. Counselors will kind of mix and match. And I'm very deep, you know, with stuff. So I want to make sure people are really getting what they want, you know, and it's what they need. You know what I mean? And it's not going to be just a bunch of, you know, all these things. So, but I love the feedback. That's my favorite part. My favorite part is getting, yes, the feedback from someone. And they're like, oh my gosh, Dustin. And like, and I don't always remember, even this is going to sound really bad. I'm about to out myself today, but like even in counseling sessions, like I don't always remember everything that happened in a counseling session. And like, I don't always remember every word that I say. And like, sometimes clients will come back and they'll be like, well, you said that one time just stuck with me forever. Or, you know, or even in a reading, of course, we forget readings. It just kind of comes and goes, you know, like I don't always know. So spirit, you know, and just kind of moves me in any role that I am, you know, teaching, supervising, counseling, doing readings, groups, individuals. I just want, you know, I really just surrender, and spirit literally will move me, and I'll just know they'll tap into different parts of my brain.
You never need to like step in and hold back some messages.
Oh yeah, sometimes. Yeah, no. Spirits are people, man. Yeah, you can't just let them come out and say whatever. Some of them are pretty wild.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Now, there's have you seen, or well, you said you're extremely sensitive. So, are you sensitive to the extent that you can sense the other side and what kind of environment they have there, or anything about the other side?
I've asked spirit to show me the other side and to show me details, and you know, to kind of give me a glimpse. And from what I've seen, it's very vivid. It's like the colors are brighter. It feels slower. Like you can feel like almost like a static, like electrical, staticky. Like even as I talk about it, I energy. Can start to feel the goosebumps kind of coming on, and the yes, yeah. But it's a little more than just energy. Like I can feel, like I can give you descriptives. Like it's not just energy, right? This kind of buzzword.
Pray tell.
The seeing is a little more deeper. The colors, the sensations, right? The bodily sensations. This sense of time is distorted. It feels like it's much longer than it really is.
I know it's more vivid, but like what kind of, have you seen what vegetation structures?
For me, it's more patterns and colors kind of mixing and kind of moving. Almost like you're on drugs a little bit. Like if you were to look at like a, you know, a movie where they see like all the drugs.
I'll have what she's having.
I wasn't using when I was doing this. I was literally just sitting. But you can ask, you know. And of course, most of us mediums will tell you the things that they share with us, you know, like they eat, they do activities, you know, you can do things on the other side, just as you would here, you know, but it's a deeper experience than here.
It's, you know, I'm not in a rush to get there, but I can't wait. It's the best way to say it. You know?
It's not bad from what I've seen. Yes. Or felt.
Nice. So I remember talking to you about some future projects that you had. You had your doctorates that you're working on, do you have any other aspirations, like maybe in?
Yes. So I posted this on Facebook maybe a couple months ago. I'm going to be writing my first book right after I finish dissertation, and I'm done probably in February, March. Mm-hmm. I plan to take quite a bit of time off. My mentor John left me a bit of money, and he had a lot of money, and so I intend to use that, you know, his gift, and to invest that to write a book. And so my idea for the book is it's going to be about people like me who are therapists and light workers, because there's actually quite a bit of us. So I don't know if anyone else has talked about this, but there's a lot of therapists, counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists who are starting to open up and do psychic work, mediumship work, energy work, and they're being more of a holistic practitioner. So this is a whole movement. And so I intend to write a book talking about that, you know, some of the legal stuff, ethical stuff, and then, you know, giving a lot of my expertise on the medium side and the psychic side. Mm-hmm. And then also, of course, blending it with counseling and kind of how we can, you know, what are the do's and don'ts? How do they go together? How do they not? You know, and also for regular lay people, for them to know what they need. Do they need a counselor? Do they need a psychic? Do they need a medium? Do they need an energy worker? Because people ask me all the time, what do I need? Because they don't have anyone to go to. There's no resource to discern or to separate all these things. You know, no one's done this. And so I said, by God, I'm going to be the one write this book. You know, I said, I'm going to do it.
I wish there was like a test that you could put people through, you know, and this
yes!
is what you,
yeah. You know, what's my healing path? What do I need?
A couple of questions, output, this is what you need, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Someone should make that. Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of a joke where a guy went to the doctor and he says, doctor, I don't know if my wife has Alzheimer's or if she has, the sexual disease. Doctor said, no problem. Just take her out to the woods. Leave her there. She comes back. Don't make love to her.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. Oh, sorry. My.
It's a little bit risky. Sorry about that, folks. But I wanted to make you laugh. I don't know. I just had this compulsion to make you laugh. Maybe it's your dad channeling through me again or something.
It probably is. He's listening to this. He's probably
you ever give like advice to clients and then follow up with them, see how did it work out? Because
once in a while, yeah. So someone will reach out and even if they came in for a reading and then like they'll follow up. So most of the time, right, there'll be a piece or two or sometimes a few pieces of evidence that they just don't know.
Those and are the best signs.
And then they send an email. I keep them all in a folder. I like literally save them all because when I have a bad day, I open it up and I can look.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
I get those all the time. Once in a while, someone will reach out and they'll say, Dustin, yeah, no, you really, really moved me on that path. I went to school. I got my degree or I married that person that came up or, yeah, sometimes years later.
Mm-hmm. And that's like a kind of like a double blind reading, I guess it's called, because you can't be accused of reading their minds because you're telling them something they didn't know and it happens to them later, kind of.
Or they actively deny. One time I was reading for this guy and I said, you're going to get married. And he's been with his partner for like 20 years or something. And he said, we're never going to get married. They messaged me back like 2 years later.
Guess what? We got married.
I was like, those are always the best, you know. You just laugh at that, you know.
So for our listeners that are Reiki depraved, tell us what that whole thing is.
Well, Reiki, I feel like I talked a little bit about this, I think, last time. So Reiki, I think I actually did. I think you asked me this question.
I did. Time. I'm looking at some of the questions from last time.
Yeah, so it's a Japanese healing tradition, you know. It's basic energy work. There's a lot of different forms of Reiki, you know. Some of them involve hand movements and hand positioning. I do what's called intuitive Reiki. So just intuitive, kind of, I just kind of go with where I feel the energy needs to go. I will touch the client and I'll ask them. You know, I always ask permission before I touch someone. Mm-hmm. And of course it's in, you know, appropriate area. Oh, yeah. You know, where the energy needs to go, and then you can kind of move. And so it's a few parts to it. One, I kind of do a bit of medical intuition first. I kind of feel out the energy flow, what's going on with the person, where the energy blocks are, what kind of medical things might be happening. And then move to the energy work. And then, an aftercare plan, you know, in the fancy counseling words, you know, where, you know, how to protect that energy, you know, and keep it so that they don't lose it, you know, and come back tomorrow. You know what I mean? So they can kind of really stick with it and really kind of keep it going.
Yeah. And during your, when you're doing the Reiki, are you in any different state of consciousness or anything like that?
Well, there are some forms of trance mediumship healing that are like that. where you do enter an altered state and the spirit actually comes through and works through your hands. When I do it, it's more of me controlling the energy flow. So I don't do trance healing.
Okay.
You know, so for me, I'm in a waking state, but it is a bit of a slight switch in the state of consciousness, but I'm still in a waking state. I can still talk and I'm aware of my surroundings.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
So let me ask you about your private readings that you do right now. Are you like booked really far out in advance at this point?
Actually, no. I think I'm booked. Well, I'm booked tomorrow. And then I do think I have a few next week and kind of sporadic. Usually my bookings book the weekend before the week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's funny how you get them on the weekends, right?
Yeah. They all come on the weekends. They're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I need to call Dustin.
Absolutely. You've given me some vision of like patterns and colors on the other side. Anything else, like in terms of like the senses that you experience, smells or tastes or anything else coming from the other side?
Those clairs. For me, it's been mostly the feeling, the feeling of time being changed that's a pretty profound feeling. Mm-hmm. If you can get to that level, where the time and the space aren't quite the same.
It's crazy. I think I've had an out of OBE, like after I fell asleep, because I saw myself rising above my body once. And I mean, it's crazy. We don't know anything. Like, we know nothing of what we're capable of doing. I'm convinced of that. Or what's in the ether and the spirit. And just, there's just so much information out there, And now with AI.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to see where AI goes. I wondered if AI is ever going to reach the point where it might be able to do mediumship or channeling. I wonder if a true AI could exist, and could actually channel.
Yeah. I think AI is the biggest, Bill Gates says AI is the biggest achievement, technically, that he's seen in his lifetime.
Yeah, so I believe in AI. If we can get to a true AI, that's going to be really amazing.
Well, but then we don't have to think for ourselves. We just have to carry an AI machine and does all the thinking for us. We're just going to become, just like in the movie WALL-E, we're just going to be all plugged in.
I think it would be great to have another being that's got consciousness that we can learn from and talk to and coexist with. I'm all ready for it, man. I believe in other, worldly, I believe, we call them aliens, but I think it's very egocentric for humans to think we're the only being alive.
Oh, no, are you kidding? With the zillions and kajillions of galaxies, each containing a kajillion zillion planets? No, I don't think so.
But AI is unique because we're kind of bringing it here, Yeah. Well, I guess maybe not. Maybe it's always been. But now it's just forming. Who knows? I'm curious. I want to know.
Well, listen, Dustin, our hour has gotten, it came and it went real quick, super fast.
Yeah. I appreciate Lisa for calling in twice.
Thank you, Lisa. And we appreciate you listeners for listening in. And again, if you guys wanted to contact Dustin for a reading, it's Dustin L. It's www.dustenlyvers.com, right?
Just my name.
Very cool. And I'm sure your website is full of information for bookings and everything like that. So great.
It's got all the stuff.
Perfect. Well, Dustin, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Everybody, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next month.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Mm-hmm.